morning. It is 10 a.m. We'll go ahead and get started with the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers meeting for August the 21st of 2023. Start with item number one, call to order. Roll call.
Aubrey Insel.
Present.
Rick Brunson.
Here.
Robert Aldridge.
Here.
Robert Brooks.
Here.
Sam Hong.
Here.
Jonathan Ingles.
Here.
Greg Richardson.
Here.
Valerie Washington.
Here.
Wayne Olson.
Here.
Bill Paxton.
Here.
Sherry Decker.
Here.
Kevin Clark.
Here.
Anil Austin.
Here.
Monty Crockham.
Here.
Thomas Kumar. Chantel Oliver.
Here.
Stephanie Lane. Levi Larkin. Phil Robar.
Here.
And Sarah Sellers.
Here.
Thank you, Sandy. Move to item number two, agenda announcements.
Madam Chair, could we please move the legislative update to item number four and executive session to item number five?
Yes, ma'am. Any other announcements? Okay, we'll move to item number three, the consent agenda. We'll move for an approval on the July 17, 2023 meeting minutes, monthly financial reports, and the acceptance of the report of payments over $5,000.
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Brunson. Do I have a second? Second by Chief Aldridge. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll move to the legislative update. Mr. Paxton.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, as you can imagine, the impeachment trial of the Attorney General is getting all the attention in Austin. I mean, it's dominating the news cycle, and it's all anyone like me is talking about in and around the Capitol. The trial is going to start September 5th, and then shortly after the trial, probably in mid-October, Governor Abbott is expected to call another special session, this time on school choice. But I think for our purposes, what we're really focused on is the November 5th constitutional amendment election. That's the broadband infrastructure constitutional amendment is item number 8 of 13 on the ballot. The language of our ballot initiative is great in that it's pretty much free of legalese and is very straightforward, because typically when you have language that is confusing, voters just tune out and vote no. But I feel very comfortable with its position on the ballot and the language. Now, the Texas Broadband Now Coalition, which is made up of about six or seven companies, including AT&T, has been working on a campaign strategy to get more support statewide for this initiative. I expect by late September, 1st of October, we're going to see tons of ads on the news, on social media, in print, to get support for this initiative. Now, I have seen recent polling that they've done statewide on the broadband infrastructure amendment. It has strong support statewide, even more support than the property tax amendment, which the reason that one is not getting much support, the ballot language is confusing. So I feel very confident on where we are. I expect it to pass. There will probably be opposition from the same far right groups that oppose spending on all these types of measures. But overall, I feel really, really confident where we stand at this point. And other than that, it's going to be all Attorney General trial for the next month and a half.
Anybody have any other questions for Bill?
Do you foresee us not needing to go down or talk to anybody? I think our support is very good.
Our support is very good. You know, we have to be careful as a public entity. We can't advocate or spend public funds to campaign for this initiative. I know that we can educate voters on the initiative. We just can't go out and advocate. Now, the Broadband Coalition and the 911 Alliance are working with statewide public safety organizations to get support out that way and get them involved in doing campaigning for it. But we're not going to need to go talk to any members of the legislature for this. You know, it's up to the voters now, and we just have to work with these groups to try to get the support out.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Because I like gray areas.
Okay.
Since you said that we could advocate.
Could not advocate. No.
Educate.
But we can educate.
Yes.
If we were to, is it okay for us to put educational materials on our website?
I will defer to your.
It is. We need to be very careful in how we word it, but it's just factually based. Information is acceptable. You can spend public dollars to educate, to get information out about what the proposition is for.
Second question. Mm-hmm. If we were to get, would it be possible for us to have a podcast to discuss the educational benefits?
That's a really gray area, because I think you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if you do have a podcast to do that, you got to be very careful on how you present the information.
Well, and I think that probably brings in a lot of personal opinion to that conversation, which needs to probably stay out of the educational piece.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone has already said no.
Well, I'm not saying no, but for example, it's not unusual for governmental entities to have town hall meetings where the topic is discussed. That is not considered to be spending public monies to advocate passage or defeat, but at the town hall meeting, you've got to be very careful to just present information, not say, please vote for this, etc. Individual board members can say that. If you want to go talk to your friends, say, I'm in favor of this, I hope all y'all go out there and vote on it. Where you cross the line is if you're spending public money. So you've got to be very careful not to do anything official on behalf of the district where you're spending public dollars to advocate this. Public dollars can be spent for brochures or informational items. Public dollars can be spent to put information on the website. But you got to be careful that it is just factual and not persuasive.
Great answer.
All right, good. That was a great answer to a great question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Okay, let's move to number 5. Let's go ahead and convene into executive session. Pursuant to Chapter 551, Texas Government Code, the district reserves the right to convene an executive session from time to time as necessary during this meeting. So, pursuant to Section 551.071 and Section 418.183, we will exercise executive session at 10:08. Okay, the time is 11:09 on August the 21st, 2023, and we will reconvene back into open session for the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers meeting. Now let's go ahead and move to the Executive Director report.
In your handout, you have the monthly stats. For calls, number of calls we received in July. And then public education stats, social media, and our outreach of how many people we touched with public education in July. So that's just informational. Any questions on that?
Any questions from the board on any of those statistical presentations?
I do not.
No.
Thank you.
Moving on to B, the last item in our board action items is we are having a final regionalization study town hall meeting on September 15th from 10 a.m. to noon at the Boland Center in Fort Worth. And MCP will be doing the same presentation to all of our stakeholders. All the same people have been invited, all the way from city managers, department heads, HR, accounting, PSAFs, of course. But anybody that was invited in all of those segments of the first two town hall meetings, those are the stakeholders that we've invited. They can come back and they'll do their 1 hour presentation and leave time for question and answers. And we're going to take about 50, I think, handouts, and then anything over that we'll have an email sign up for people that want it digital. So they may want both. Any questions on that? MCP has also been tasked with making us a smaller, maybe 10-minute version of how can we condense this 1 hour presentation into something that maybe a council would like to see. Or when we go meet a new chief, or someone that's just new to our district, a new PSAP manager that may not know us, that we could take to them and just in a little nutshell that we could tell about this study and how it could impact us, the region. So they've been tasked with that. I haven't heard back on their progress, but we had a little leftover funds in our RFP contract, so we're using those.
Was any hard copy communication sent out on that, or just the email that went out?
Just the email for now, and those that attend will have a sign-up list that want it digital, and then we will place it on our website, and then we'll be taking about 50 hard copies.
Thank you.
But I think Chantel said she's had quite a few responses.
I think it's up to 80 now.
80 now? 80 responses? Okay.
Thank you.
So if y'all could come, that'd be great. And support us on C. I just wanted to talk about the field trip, the two-day field trip that Fort Worth, the city of Fort Worth, and myself and Kevin went on. We took a bus to San Antonio with 15, there were 17 people total, 15 Fort Worth representatives. San Antonio met at Bear Metro with Brett Schneider, got to see his 80,000 square foot center and just the magnitude of what it might look like to bring in three different departments together. And then from there, the bus took us to hotel. The next morning we got up, we took a plane to El Paso, where we met Scott Calderwood, and he took us through his 100 square foot 24/7 center. I know that Fort Worth, I mean, there's HR, the city managers, the department heads, fire chief, we got to see Chief Davis, the CEO of MedStar, and the directors, people from dispatch and over dispatch and at the police department and the fire department, the captains, just an array of people that could actually see something like this possibly coming together for them. So one of my takeaways, and I want y'all to, and I'll just say high-level takeaways. I have three big takeaways, but the high-level one was the people element. While it wasn't just a building of walls and offices and consoles, they totally dove into the people element, the lighting, the sound, the air quality. That touched me the most. So I'm going to let y'all talk about what y'all walked away.
It was a wonderful visit. Just in the city of Fort Worth, it's a priority for our mayor and council to what they call fix 911 dispatch for us, where we've had long call times, we've had issues with staffing on the police side, and we've had issues with response times with MedStar. It's top of mind. So as part of that, we are on a serious mission to look at co-location. / eventually down the road consolidation of systems, but at a bare minimum co-location of police, fire, and MedStar in our jurisdiction. We have an opportunity with our future City Hall and us moving into that building that there's potentially space at current City Hall, where there have been thoughts about could we consolidate our co-located dispatch here. There's really honestly two camps. People are thinking, no way. Other people are thinking, let's see if it's feasible. But we're just checking out square footage and just going to have a feasibility done. But we know we're going to need some space for co-location to happen. Right now, our mayor and council are really grappling through MedStar issues, and a lot of those are going to tie down to response times and potentially blowing up the current EMS system and starting with something different. And so dispatch and 911 are really going to be on our radars. I think as the mayor's called a special EMS ad hoc committee, and I think a part of those presentations, Siri, will be us letting them know what we're doing with 911 with our working group, but really honing in on the dispatch. The local 440, our local fire union, is really pushing mayor and council to do something with dispatch, you know, right now. And we're really wanting them to do their due diligence and understand what that means, especially as we have a higher mission to co-locate in the future. So we've got a lot of moving parts and pieces, and this trip really helped us, kind of helped our group understand some synergies and maybe a path we needed to look at together with fire, police, MedStar, and city management. I thought some of the highlights for me were just the universal dispatcher concept, right, and having that person that can handle all types of calls and eliminate some of the call transfers, and the MMHR piece where they had the dispatchers, the MMHR focused dispatchers on the floor with some 311. So I just think there's a lot of options, and we're trying to keep our mayor and council updated and focused so we can do the right thing.
So I learned, not only individually, but collectively as a region, how woefully inadequate our systems are. Because when you walked into Bexar County, it was very impressive. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, but it seemed like Bexar County used that more as a backup center for a lot of the agencies that touched them. Whereas whenever we went to El Paso, I was unbelievably impressed, because that actually was their 911 communication center. And so they had police, fire, their ambulance service out of there. One thing that we do not do that we have talked about is, I mean, they had the EOC inside that building. So an emergency operations center inside that building was phenomenal, considering all the stuff that could happen. They also have a fusion center that was inside that building. Was Scott at El Paso? Scott was, I mean, he retired, I guess, 25 years with El Paso with the fire department. He looked like he's 30 years old, and he goes 100 miles an hour. But he was so thoughtful in everything that he did, because he said that he actually walked everybody's, you know, in their position, where they are in the building, from the parking lot to their position and around the building, to see how functional it was. And if it did not meet, you know, if he thought it was a little extreme, then they changed the planning within the building. And so where she was talking about the lights, you know, they changed the lights according to what's going on outside. They actually had white noise, and I believe it was at 87%. They believe that was the percentage that was the right amount of white noise. And you would be amazed in this big area, because it was a large area with all the workstations, how quiet it was. I mean, we could stand next to each other and talk to each other and not hear anything going on probably 10, 15 feet away. It was amazing. So, I mean, I think we've used our building as far as we could use it, and that made us basically look and go, wow, we need to do something different. So, because the space we have, although it's adequate for what we're doing right now, but we just know that if we're going to co-locate, it needs to get bigger and it needs to get modernized.
And while each of these buildings house the 911 district as well as the stakeholders, each place brought in their chiefs that were actually working out of these centers, the chiefs, the fire department chiefs, all kind, EMS, emergency management, all those department heads came in to talk to us in their busy day, and that was quite impressive that they could get those, you know, short notices we were giving people to get those stakeholders in, so they could actually tell Fort Worth what worked for them, what's working for them, and what they would do differently going in the future. So I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, thank you for your support. Like I said, it was a fabulous trip, and I think it's going to help us really keep conversations focused. And our ad hoc EMS committee, if you follow it, if you follow council or local government, is going to kick off on April or August 29th, so it's coming up really fast. I think those will be public meetings.
Thank you, guys. All right, let's move to contracts for design and construction of the new facilities. Letter A, looking for a motion to approve resolution 23-036, rescinding the board of approval of Ridgemont commercial construction contract.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. First by Ms. Washington, second by Chief Aldridge. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on to resolution number 23-038, the approval of the architect contract for design of Willow Springs facility. And before I call for a motion, I would like staff to give us a presentation explaining how the proposed vendor was selected, the needs assessment that was presented, and the process that you went through.
Certainly. Good morning. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. It's going to be nice to be able to put a presentation together for you this morning here. I want to let you know we are with our program moving towards getting into the Willow Springs building. We've acquired that. We're actually doing routine visits out there to make sure everything's good. But our next step is to start working with an architecture group to build this out and kind of meet some of those dates and those needs that we've got. So what we did, we put our team together to sit and work with. We had Sherry, we had Sarah, Emil, and myself, and we reached out with the help of our attorney to find some of the architectural firms that are out there that they've had some experiences with in the past to get an understanding of who's out there. And we interviewed three of them. We worked with EK Designs, and that was one of the first ones that came through, and they had some good experience. They certainly worked with some of the other groups out there. In advance, actually, with any of these, we presented them with all the information that we had to date regarding our program information. So what we've established in this building, how every department, how every group uses pretty much every square foot around here. What's here now, we're pretty tight, but that was our basis need. The discussion went from there as to what are the future wants, knowing that we do need to expand out. We've got several of our programs scattered through different of the regional backup areas. So we took those, added that in. We provided this to each of the architectural groups ahead of time so they could review the, I'll say the very baseline programming. It turns out programming is a very big thing in the architectural realm. So for me to say that, it was some basic ideas of what we thought we would need. The idea is that architects actually going to go through and do the actual programming based on needs of the organization, the workflows, and a number of other elements out there. We sat with each of these groups that came in, and we discussed what we had in our programming documentation. We showed them the designs and the schematics of the building, and we discussed what their thoughts might be on how best to proceed with this. As I indicated, the first one we worked with was EK Designs, and they went out and they met with us. They talked a lot about this. They have some a lot of experience over the Dallas area. They've done a lot of other businesses. They spoke very well on things. They had some element of, I won't say public safety, but there's some elements that they could speak to regarding some of the concerns and what the needs we were looking at. The other one we looked at was peak program value. And this is a unique group, and we met with Chris Squadra. And he had a great deal to talk to us about how the space actually, we were planning on using it. So we sat down, he looked at our programming, and they do a lot of the cost assessments of what we're going to do and lining up for how this building would need to be used based on our staff needs, based on what he saw from the diagrams and the architectural designs that we have from how the building was originally created. So we got a lot of information out of him. He was a little hesitant to kind of engage with us for this type of project, so he said we could still reach out, but this is not exactly the scale he was looking at that time. We did get a response from the first one, PK. The third one we had was Triba, and we worked with Triba. We invited them in, and we also sent them the full packets of everything we had ahead of time. We walked through all the initial as-built architectural designs. They met and they came here and discussed with us their thoughts on the building. They'd actually brought an electrical engineering group that we've dealt with in public safety for actually some of your buildings in the past. Actually, they were one of the ones that we dealt with Grand Prairie quite a bit. And they brought a team also to represent as they're looking at building out a network operations center, as we're looking at mission critical systems. And that was an interesting perspective. They went through and looked at how we were looking at potentially using this building. They talked about some of the needs that we were going to have because this was going to be a building that will be an element of a critical service for North Texas. So we went through, talked to all of these groups, boiled this all down to, and it's our recommendation at this point to go with Triba out of those three that we did discuss with based on their public safety experience, based on a complete group that they brought to us, the description of how they plan on moving through this program with us. They are going to be here to provide programming and design documentation. So the idea of how the building's going to be used, where the office is going to be, where the data center is going to be. Is there going to be enough structural support underneath UPSs and large cabinets? They'll handle the permitting, the construction administration, and consulting services. So through the whole process, they're also going to be engaged. Since they are the architects, we will need to work with the general contractor. They will be the ones that also help us move through that process and through the entire building of the facility. They will be involved for submittals, as well as any of the questions that come up until the final end, as well as kind of making sure that everything that they design is actually built to their specifications. So currently that is the recommendation from staff. We have a representative from Triba here, this is Shannon Bearden, and there is a proposal you'll find in your packets for that, and I'm certainly here to entertain any questions, either from the team that was here or myself. Yes, sir.
Was the district's attorney involved in all phases of this process?
He was. In all phases, yes, the district attorney. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
In the, pulling up my notes here, so I can understand if peak program value, they just really kind of said maybe this was out of scale for what they were looking for. If they were hesitant, I would say, anyone who's hesitant at this table, I'd say just get out of here. We don't want to work with you. We don't want any hesitation.
I think it was a good discussion, had some ideas.
Yeah, and I appreciate their honesty to know, okay, this isn't for me. But on the EK Designs, did they have the same public safety experience as Triba?
Yeah, from what they told us, they did not. They covered several of the buildings they had been part of and had some dealings with. But in comparison to what Triba had done and the representatives that they brought, Triba has a number of subcontractors and consultants they will bring to bear that are specific in their realms. They knew that this was going to be a public safety-oriented initiative, and I think for that specific reason, they brought some of those people as part of their team to meet with us and talk about some of their ideas.
I was just trying to differentiate between Triba and EK Designs just in my head as I was trying to rank them.
Yes, but yeah. There was much more of a public safety feel. They are working with one of the electrical engineers that we've seen on many other of the PSAPs that have either gone through major renovations or new builds. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. We actually recognized some of the people, and they understood some of the challenges that we had with them in the past that they recognized they will not make those mistakes or those assumptions. So they brought that to bear. I would ask Shannon if you'd like that. You also brought some additional people having to do with the knock. There's a slew of people that you may be able to help if you would like her to speak to this.
Yes, there's several third-party groups that we're bringing to the table. Excuse me. Sorry. Power and Associates is one of them, and then KAI. KAI has done several facilities for the city of Fort Worth Police and Dallas and Arlington and Irving. Excuse me, you guys, and Carrollton. So KAI specializes in emergency services, Knox data centers. That is their background. That is what they do, which is why we partnered with them specifically. We have also, as a firm, completed several community and civic buildings, several immigration buildings that resolve around security as a basis and getting people in and out of the building in a safe manner. And then we also specialize in workplace design, which is where we bring a different aspect to this project, because most of it is going to be in workplace, and then our partners will be the ones that will provide the emergency services design aspect and implement.
Any other questions from the board or discussion?
Can I add one? I would just suggest that we attach those programming specs that were provided to the different firms to the board, I mean to the minutes, just so that's part of the record.
Thank you, Ms. Walsh.
Agreed.
Any other conversation or questions?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. I think it would be appropriate for this resolution to call for an individual vote of each board member. So if you will indulge, we'll go around and call for a vote.
You still need a motion. There ain't a motion.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
We still need a motion.
Okay.
Got a second.
Who was it first?
I'll make the motion to approve.
Thank you. For Mayor Richardson, second for Mr. Brunson. Okay, so for resolution number 23-038, Chief Aldridge?
Yes.
Ms. Washington?
Yes.
Mayor Richardson?
Aye.
Mr. Brunson?
Yes.
Chief Hall?
Yes.
Chief Ingles?
No.
Okay. Let the record reflect a no from Chief Ingles and a yes from me. Okay, motion passes unanimously.
No.
I'm sorry, not unanimously. Apologies. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Good. In light of approval of 23-038, let's move to letter C, resolution 23-039, the authorization to proceed with procurement for the construction manager at-risk contractor.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 That one passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Let's move to public comment. If there is no public, we'll call the meeting adjourned at 11:32. Thank you.
Thank you.
So you got your Susie Turner's line up?